Misyata Dishmaya, we're going to learn Sukkah Daf Mem Ches. We're going to start from the next Mishnah, four lines from the top of the Omud. And this Mishnah is actually taking us back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Omud Beis, the first Mishnah in the Perek, where we saw there, it says in the Mishnah, after Lulav V'Arov Shisha V'Shiva, which has been discussed at length, the Mishnah says, HaHalil V'Asimcha Shmoyna. So the Mishnah here says, HaHalil V'Asimcha Shmoyna Ketzad. What does it mean when it says in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis that the chiyuv of halil and simcha is for 8 days? Says the Mishnah, melamed shechayev kol odom. This teaches us that a person is required behalil to say the entire halil, ubesimcha, and to eat from the bosar shlomim, the shalmei simcha, ubechvoid yom tov achrein shel chag kashar kol yimoy sachag, and to honor the 8th day of Yom Tov, Shmoyna, the Shmini Atzeres, no less, and in the same way as he did with the first 7 days, with the 7 days of Sukkos. Says the Gemara, Minohan Amili, how do you know, where do you know this from, that there's a chiyuv of simcha, to go out of your way, to make sure that you're happy, you're joyous, and it happens to be that the way one does that is by eating Shalmei Simcha, but what's the source that one's got a chiyuv of simcha on Shmini Atzeres? If you look in the Psukim, it just says in the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkos Ta'asilcha, and then it says afterwards, V'samachto B'chagecha. It talks about Sukkos. Sukkos is the first 7 days, not the Shmini Atzeres. When it says V'samachto B'chagecha, we assume it to mean the Chag, referring to the 7 days of Sukkos. So who told the Mishnah that there's a chiyuv of simcha on the 8th day? Says the Gemara, the Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a Braisa, that there's another pasuk that says Vayisa Ach Somech. The pasuk says Shivas Yomim Tochig LaShem Elikecho B'Mokim Ashivchar Hashem Kivrech Hashem Elikecho B'Chol Tvuoscha U'B'Chol Ma'is Yodecho Vayisa Ach Somech. Why does the pasuk again have to tell us that you have to be besimcha? The extra pasuk to tell us Vayisa Ach Somech is to teach us that L'Rabbo is to include an extra day. That means there's an extra time where possibly from the pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Ta'asilcha, V'samachto B'chagecha, we wouldn't have known there's a chiyuv of simcha. And the Vayisa Ach Sameach, the extra pasuk tells us, include even that. Now, just as a short introduction, there are two possibilities. Because how does one have simcha? As we said before, one eats from the Shalmei Simcha, from the Korban Shlomim. Korban Shlomim cannot be brought at night at all. So we have an issue here. How is a person on the first night of Sukkos, how's a person going to have simcha? The only way you can have simcha is if he actually shechts the korban on Erev Yom Tov and he eats the korban the following night. Well, that's a discussion. That's an issue whether zvicha b'sha'a simcha or not, whether the korban shlomim that you're going to eat for simcha has to be shechted at a time of simcha. If you say that zvicha b'sha'a simcha, you're going to have a challenge. How are you going to have simcha on the first night of Yom Tov? And that's one point. Another point, and that is the Shmini Atzeres. There, it's when the pasuk says v'samachto b'chagecha, there's no reason to say that it includes Shmini Atzeres. So Shmini Atzeres in and of itself, maybe there's no chiyuv of simcha. So the Gemara says no. From the fact that it says Vayisach Sameach, it's actually telling us LeRabo is Leile Yom Tov Achrin. The extra pasuk is coming to tell us that the night of Shmini Atzeres has a chiyuv of simcha. That's what you see from Vayisach Sameach. And Rashi adds that the day is always got more of a chiyuv than the night. As we saw previously, the way it says that Yomim includes nights as well. So if in the night there's a chiyuv of simcha from Yisach Sameach on the night of Shmini Atzeres, even more so there's going to be a chiyuv simcha on the day of Shmini Atzeres from a kal v'chomer. So the night of Shmini Atzeres is included because it's immediately following the 7 days of Sukkos. It wouldn't make sense to say that the 7 days of Sukkos have a chiyuv of simcha, and then Vayisach Sameach is referring to the day of Shmini Atzeres, and the night of Shmini Atzeres is left out. That wouldn't make sense. So if you've got Pasuk Vayisach Sameach, it's including the night, which is immediately following the 7 days of Sukkos, the night of Shmini Atzeres is included. And once the night has a chiyuv of simcha, then a kal v'chomer, even more so, the day of Shmini Atzeres has a chiyuv of simcha. And how are you going to have simcha on the night of Shmini Atzeres? You can't shecht at night a korban shlomim. So it must be that you're going to shecht the shlomim on the last day of Sukkos. And then on the night of Shmini Atzeres, you're going to eat from that basar shlomim. And that's the chiddush here, that a korban that was shechted on Sukkos, on one of the 7 days of Sukkos, can act as a catalyst for simcha of Shmini Atzeres. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's what it means. L'rabois leile yom tov achroin of Shmini Atzeres. Says the Gemara, oy einoi elo. Maybe when it says v'yisach sameach, it's telling us yom tov arishoin. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that you have to shecht the korban shlomim on erev yom tov in order to have simcha on the first night of yom tov. And then it would be apparent that the zman of the shechita doesn't have to be in a time of simcha. And maybe that's the chiddush of Vayisach Sameach. So who told you that Vayisach Sameach is including Shmini Atzeres? Maybe it's including the first night. Says the Gemara, Keshua Eimer, Ach, since it uses the term Ach, and Ach is always chilek, Ach is always to exclude, to separate, to just say partly, not completely. So when it says Ach Sameach, it means, yes, we're adding simcha, but not everything, just part. That means you have two options, either Shmini Atzeres or the first night of Sukkos. Vayisach Sameach says, we'll include Shmini Atzeres and not the first night of Sukkos. Omar Yisa asks the Gemara, what made you decide that L'rabba is Leil Yom Tov Achrein Ulhoitzi Leil Yom Tov Horishoin? Why do you say that the Pasuk of Yisach Sameach is including and coming to include Shmini Atzeres and not the first night of Sukkos? Marbani, maybe it should be the opposite. Answers the Gemara, no. Logic dictates that when the Pasuk says and includes an extra simcha, it would mean the night of Shmini Atzeres and not the first night of Sukkos. Why? Marbani Leile Yom Tov Achrein Shiesh Simcha Lefonov. Because before the night of Shmini Atzeres, you have a whole week of simcha, the 7 days of Sukkos. So if you have simcha before, it makes sense you should continue that simcha into Shmini Atzeres. But the Ach tells us that the first night of Sukkos, there's no chiyuv of simcha, because how are you going to have the simcha? There's no simcha before it, and therefore there's reason to believe that since there's no way of shechting a korban shlomim at the time of the simcha on the first night, because you can't shecht at night, and to shecht before Yom Tov is an issue because then you're shechting not in a time of simcha, and therefore we assume that the pasuk that says Ach is coming to impress on us that the first night of Sukkos is not included in simcha, but Shmini Atzeres is. Says the next Mishnah, Sukkah Shivo Ketzad. We saw again over there in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, it says there, Sukkah v'nisuch hamayim Shivo, that Sukkah is 7 days, and nisuch hamayim is 7 days. So the Mishnah is asking, Sukkah Shivo Ketzad. What's the Mishnah trying to impress on us by saying that Sukkah is for 7 days? Says the Mishnah, Gomar milechil lo yatir es sukkosoy. That when you're finished eating on Hoshana Rabbah, do not disassemble your sukkah. Don't dismantle your sukkah. Why? Because we're going to see, maybe you still need to eat a meal. If you're going to want to learn, you're going to want to sleep, you're going to want to eat, do you have to do all that in the sukkah? Don't dismantle your sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah. But since the following night is Shmini Atzeres, and Shmini Atzeres you're not in the sukkah, it says, Basukkah is Teishu Shivas Yomim, at least in Eretz Yisrael. So all the utensils and all the sheets and everything you've taken up to the sukkah, what are you going to do with them? Tonight is Shmini Atzeres. You'll have to take them back down into the house to prepare for Yom Tov. So that you're allowed to do in the afternoon of Hoshana Rabbah. Aval Moirid es hakelim min haMincha lemaila, you can take down. And the reason it says Moirid is because a number of times in the Masechta we've seen that sukkahs were made on the roof. You would take down from the roof the kelim to the house, min haMincha lemaila, in the afternoon of Hoshana Rabbah, mipnei kvoid yom tov achrein shel chag, in honor and in preparation for the last day, which is Shmini Atzeres. Asks the Gemara, ein lo kelim lahoirid mahu. Very interesting question. What happens if he's got nothing to take down from his sukkah? So even before understanding this, the Gemara says, Ein lo kelim? He doesn't have any utensils. Eloki ishtamish b'may ishtamish. What was he doing the whole sukkahs? You don't have any utensils. How did you eat on sukkahs? Says the Gemara, no, I didn't mean if he doesn't have utensils. Everyone's got utensils. What does it mean? Elo ein lo mokim lahirid kelov. Now, what happens if he doesn't have another home? This is where he's going to stay even after Sukkot. He's got nowhere to take his utensils to. And what's going to be? Tonight, the following night, is going to be Shemini Atzeres. He's going to have to just continue eating in what was a sukkah for Sukkot. He's going to have to continue eating. But if you continue eating in the sukkah after Sukkot, that looks like you're adding a day of Sukkot. It looks like Baal Taisif. You're not allowed to add on dimensions to a mitzvah. The Torah says 7 days, not 8 days. So if you were to take all the utensils down and then you happen to be in the sukkah afterwards, okay, at least you've made a sign. You've done something to show that this is not a continuation of sukkahs. I've removed all the utensils. But over here, if he hasn't got anywhere to move the utensils, it looks like he's just continuing sukkahs. And that does not look right. So the Gemara says, "Obchir barav omar poiches bo arbo." Then you have to passel the sukkah. If you know that you're going to have to be in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, then you're going to remove four tfachim of schach. Tosfos asks why. Four tfachim, because to passel the sukkah, three tfachim of airspace is enough to passel it. The Rishonim discuss it. But you remove schach, enough schach is removed that it renders the sukkah passel. Once the schach is passel, then you can sit there, you can stay there for as long as you want. You're not continuing sukkahs. This is not kosher sukkah. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omar, Madlik Bo Saneir. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, even without passeling the sukkah can stay a kosher sukkah, but there's still something you can do to show that you're not doing sukkahs. What is that? Put a lamp there. If you light a lamp, and this is something we've discussed earlier on in the Masechta, that in a small sukkah, if you put a lamp there, it's inappropriate to put a lamp there. A big sukkah, you can put a lamp in a small sukkah, not. So put a lamp in the sukkah, and then everyone will understand it's not sukkahs anymore. And you're not intending to keep sukkahs for an extra day. And the Gemara says, V'loi pligi. They're not really arguing. Ubchir barav and Abishuab Levi, they're not arguing. Ha'olon, ha'olohu. In Bovel, where they had to actually sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because it was a sofik, as we know. That in Chutz, we learned this in the previous daf, that on the 8th day on Shmini Atzeres, Yisuv Yosvinon, you have to sit in the sukkah. So, in any case, you can't dismantle the sukkah on Hoshana Rabbah, you need it on Shmini Atzeres. But on Simchas Torah, as it's known in Chutz Loret, on the 9th day, then there you definitely don't sit in the sukkah. So this person, what's he going to do on the 8th day in order to be able to continue staying there on the 9th day without it looking that, like he's extending sukkahs? And he cannot passel the sukkah because that's something that you cannot do on Yom Tov. On Hoshana Rabbah, it's a Chol HaMoed, you can passel the sukkah. On Yom Tov, you cannot dismantle a sukkah. You cannot remove any schach on sukkahs. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do that. So that's why the only option they had was to put a lamp in the sukkah. A lamp on Yom Tov, you're allowed to put a lamp in the sukkah on Yom Tov. Put a lamp there. Put a lamp there on the 9th day or for the 9th day, and it will be clear that you're not continuing sukkahs. Ha'olahu, but in Eretz Yisrael, where on Shmini Atzeres we don't sit in the sukkah, and there, on before the onset of Shmini Atzeres, the end of Hoshana Rabbah, you can dismantle some of the schach, and then the sukkah's posel, and you can continue staying in the sukkah even on Shmini Atzeres. Says the Gemara that this idea of, and as we said, for Bovel, for Chutz Loretz, they would put a lamp in a sukkah, and that would show that you're not continuing, even though the sukkah is still kosher. But the very fact there's a lamp there, which is something which is also to do in a sukkah, that's only in a small sukkah. So, ha'tinach sukkah ketana. Very good. You've got a small sukkah, put a lamp there. I've made it crystal clear. I'm here because I have nowhere else to go, not because I'm extending sukkahs. But sukkah gedoyla ma'ika lemeima, in the event that I have a big sukkah, and a big sukkah putting a lamp there is not a contradiction to sukkah. So then again, I've got an issue. What am I going to do in my sukkah? I'm going to be there on the 9th day, on Simchas Torah, because I've got nowhere else to go. And putting a lamp there does not show that it's not a sukkah because it's a big sukkah. And it looks like I'm being Moisif. Says the Gemara, I've got another idea. something that you can do even in a big sukkah. Dema'il bo, bring into the sukkah moni michla, dirtied and soiled food utensils. Da'omar Rava, because Rava said, and we learned about this on Daf Choftes, moni michla, plates and dishes and utensils that you've eaten from, once you've finished eating from them and they're dirty, bar mimataralta, remove them from the sukkah, outside the sukkah. But vessels, utensils that you drink from, b'metalalta, they can stay in the sukkah. So we see from Rava that utensils that have been eaten from have to be removed from the sukkah. So if you need to be in the sukkah on Simchas Torah, at least bring those dirty kelim into this sukkah, making it clear that you're not intending to extend sukkahs. You just don't have a choice. You don't have anywhere else to go, so you're staying in the sukkah. Continues the next Mishnah. This takes us back to Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said there, Sukkah v'nisuch hamayim shiva. So we discuss Sukkah. Now, nisuch hamayim shiva, the Mishnah says that nisuch hamayim, what was nisuch hamayim? That this was aloch l'moishi misinai. That every day when the korban tomid shel shachar was brought, then they would pour wine in the corner of the Meirav Dorim of the Mizbeach. There was a hole there which would go all the way down to the Shisin, and they would pour the wine into there. There was a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai that just for the 7 days of Sukkot, there was another hole there, a little bit closer to Meirav on that same corner, and there they would pour the water. That was called Nisuch HaMaim. So the Mishnah, and that's what we saw in Daf Mem Beis, that this mitzvah, this chiyuv of Nisuch HaMaim was only for 7 days. Nisuch HaMaim Ketzad. The Mishnah says, tell us a little bit about this Nisuch HaMaim. And the Mishnah says, Tzloichis Shel Zov, there was this jug of gold, Machzekes Shloish Olugim, Tanakama holds, and we've already seen this a little bit before, that this container, this jug, held 3 lugin of water. And that's the least amount of nesachim that we find is a revi'e sahin for a keves, and that's why the same way as the wine, the least amount of wine was gimel lugin, which is the quarter of a hin is 12 lugin, so too the water, well, this jug held 3 lugin of water. And hoyom emale min ha-shiloyach, they would go to the shiloyach spring, which was close to Yerushalayim, and they would fill up the water, and then in the morning, and then higiu l'shar hamayim, they would come to the gate of the called Shar HaMayim, which was the gate closest to the Mizbeach. It was on the Dorim side of the Azara, of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a gate there called Shar HaMayim, and the person would bring this jug of water through that gate. And when he would come through, and they would do the water on the Mizbeach, then toku v'oriu v'toku, then they would blow with trumpets, a tkia, a trua, and a tkia. Olova Kevesh, he would go up the ramp, and when one goes up the ramp, one makes a right. Always, this is learnt out from Psukim, you always turn right. In the case of the Mizbeach, you went up the ramp, which was on the Dorim of the Mizbeach, and you turned right towards the Mizrach. However, the holes that were going to be for the water to be poured in, or that hole was on the corner of Meirav. So there's two ways of going there. Either you go up the ramp, you turn right and go all the way around the Mizbeach. That was a journey of over 100 amis till you get to the other corner. And then you're passing the big fireplace, and there's a risk that the smoke is going to affect the water, the wine, and that will render them as invalid. And therefore, because they had to go to the corner that was just on the left, they wouldn't turn right. They would turn left to that very first corner closest by, where the hole was for the water and the wine. Upono lismoilo, he turns left, and shnei sfolim, there were 2 bowls, shel kesef, they were made of silver, hoyushom, they were situated on top of the mezbeach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shel sidhoyu, Rabbi Yehuda says that they were not made of silver, they were made of plaster. And the Mefarshim discussed what the discussion here is, what the machlokes is. Elo shahoyu mushchorim pneim, even though they were made of silver and plaster, they were blackened somewhat. Mipnei ayayin, the bowl in which the wine was put in, the wine made the would make the wall of this, of the either the silver or the plaster container, would make it blackened somewhat. And the bowl that the water was poured into, water wouldn't make it blackened. But we'll see later in the Gemara that since they were allowed to, or if somebody, if the Kohen poured the wine into the bowl that was designated for water, it's also kosher, it's also okay. And that possibly happens sometimes. And therefore that bowl was also blackened somewhat from the wine that was poured into it. And these two bowls that were situated on top of the Mizbeach on the corner of Meir of Dorim, Umenukovin, there were two holes. There were these bowls, they had the big opening at the top of them, and then towards the bottom of them, they had a spout, kamin shnei choit min dakim, like two thin nostrils, what we would call a spout, coming out from the base of these two bowls, and then the would pour from these nostrils, from these spouts, would pour onto the Mizbeach, and then there was a hole in the Mizbeach going all the way down till the very deep down to the Shittin underneath the Mizbeach. So it had this, there were two Chot Min Dakin, these spouts, very thin nostril-like spouts from these two bowls. Echod Mu'uva, one of them was a little bit thicker, the Echod Dak, the one that was used, the one that was closer to Mizrach, that was used for the blood, had a thicker opening, a thicker spout, and the one that was more to the mire of the one that was used for water had a thinner opening. Kadeshi Ushneim Kolim Bevasachas, in order that what would be poured into them and what would flow out of them would flow and would finish flowing at the same time. And we'll see in the Gemara why it was necessary that the opening of the bowl that was used for the wine had to be wider than the opening for the water. Ma'arovoi shelmaim, that corner, Meir of Dorim, that had the two holes, the two bowls and the two holes going down to the Shittin, then the Meir of one, the one closest to Meir of was shelmaim, was for water. Mizrochi, the one closer to the Mizrach, was shelyain, was the one designated for the wine. Iro shelmaim l'toich shelyain, v'shelyain l'toich shelmaim, yotza. If you pour water into the bowl that was designated for the wine, or you poured wine into the bowl that was designated for the water, it's still yoitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, number one, beloig hoya menasech. That it wasn't gimel lugin, as we saw before. The Tanakhama say that this tzloichis held shloisha lugim. No, Rabbi Yehuda says one loig. And not only that, he says kol shmoino. In the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, we saw that Nisuch HaMayim Shiva. Rabbi Yehuda says no, Shmoino. Even on Shmini Atzeres, they would do Nisuch HaMayim. Ulebenaseich Oimer Loi, Hagbe Yotcha, they would say to the person pouring the water, lift up your hand high whilst you're pouring, because we want to see that you're not from the Tzidukim. Since it doesn't say Nisuch HaMayim explicitly in the Torah, the Tzidukim held there was no Nisuch HaMayim. They would just make a joke out of it. So in order to make sure that he did the Nisuch HaMayim, they would tell the Kohen who was pouring the water, pour it high, we want to see that you're pouring it into the bowl and not just pouring it out. Shepam Achad, it happened once that Nesech Echod Al Gabi Raglov, one of these tzedukim who just ridiculed Nisuch HaMayim, he didn't pour it into the bowl, he just poured the water out onto his feet. Urugamuhu Kola Om Be'esrigem, and the entire people, the whole nation, they stoned him with their esrogim. Continues the Mishnah, k'maseihu b'chol kach maseihu b'shabbos, that they would do the Nisuch HaMayim not only during the weekdays, but also on Shabbos. Elo, but since they could not bring the water from the Shiloach to the Beis HaMikdosh on Shabbos, elo shehoyo memale me'erev Shabbos, they would fill up this jug of water on Erev Shabbos. Chovis shel zov she'eino mukudeshes, where they would use a jug, a barrel or type of a jug that was made of gold that was not a clay shoris. Because if it's a clay shoris, it's going to make the water kodesh. And if the water becomes kodesh, overnight it becomes posel for lina. So what they would do is they would just take another utensil that was not a clay shoris. They would fill it up with water min ashiloyach. Umanicha belishko, and they would leave it in a chamber. And then they would use that water the next morning, on Shabbos morning, they would take that water and they would put it into a clay shoris, and then they would pour it on the Mizbech. Nishpacha, if for whatever reason that container of water spilt out, or Nisgalsa, or if for whatever reason that barrel was left uncovered, and it's Megula, and we had, there's a problem. If it's Megula, it could be that a snake would put some of its poison into it. And if it puts some of the poison in, then it's not 100% water. It's partly water, partly the poison of the snake. And then it's missing from the measure of water that we need. And therefore, since we have this issue, if it was left open, then you cannot use this water because we don't know if there's poison in it. And then what they would do is, hoya memale min hakiyor, they would just fill up this kleishoris with water from the kiyor, and they would pour that on the mizbeach for nisuch hamayim. Sham yayin v'hamayim megulim, because wine and water, which is left uncovered, is psulin negabi mizbeach, you're not allowed to pour it onto the mizbeach. Says the Gemara, mino hana mili. We saw in the Mishnah that when they would be drawing the water, or when they would be in doing the avodah of the nisuch hamayim, then they would blow the trumpets at tkiah, through tkiah, which is a token, a sign of simcha. Who associated the avodah of nisuch hamayim to simcha? Omer of Ino to Omer Kro. Yes, there's a pasuk. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, u'sha'avtem mayim, that you'll draw water, besosin. With sosin is a type of, with rejoicing, mimayne ha'yeshua. So you see that the pouring, the drawing of water is associated with rejoicing, and therefore, when they would bring this jug of water, they would blow the trumpets, a tkiah, a truah, and a tkiah. Continues the Gemara. And the next Gemara, we're just going to translate it at face value, and obviously this Gemara is a very deep Gemara, and it's alluding to some very hidden secrets of the Torah, but we're just going to do a basic reading of it. Hana trei mini ha. There were these two heretics, two minim kofrim. Chad shmei sosin. One of them, his name was Sosin. The chad shmei simcha, the other one was called Simcha. They had a discussion. Omale sosin the simcha. Sosin said to Simcha, Ano adifa minoch. I'm better than you. Why? Tichsiv, because it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, Uvdu ye Hashem yeshuvun uvau tziyin birina v'simchas oilam al reisham sosoin v'simcho yasigu v'nosu yogin v'anocha. Who's mentioned in the pasuk first? Sosoin v'simcho yasigu. And that they will attain sosoin, rejoicing, simcha, and happiness. Who's mentioned first? Sosoin. So Sosoin said to Simcha, I'm better than you. Omar lo simcha l'sosoin. Simcha said back to Sosoin, no, no adifa minoch. I'm better than you. Because there's another pasuk that says in Megillas Esther that it says there, Simcha v'sosin la'yehudim. That's to Klal Yisrael at the defeat of Haman, it was Simcha and Sosin. First Simcha is mentioned, then Sosin is mentioned. So Simcha said to Sosin, I'm better than you. Omar lo Sosin is Simcha. Sosin said back to Simcha, Chod yom, one day, Shavkuch, they're going to strip you of your status of Simcha. V'shavyuch, you know what they're going to make you into? Parvanko, into a scout, into somebody who's going to just be running in the streets and over the bridges to check the ways, to check the paths and the directions. Dichsiv, because it says in the pasuk in Yeshaya, ki v'simcha seitzeyu, that they're going to be going out with simcha, that means simcha is going to be teaching them the directions, the ways, the paths. Omar lo simcha l'sasin, simcha said to sasin, chad yoyim, one day shavkuch, one day you're going to lose your status of sosin. And you're going to be drawing, you're going to become a water drawer. Dichsiv, as it says, Ush'av temayim b'sosin, you'll draw water with sosin. Sosin is going to become a water drawer and lose its status of sosin. And that's the literal translation of the Gemara. And obviously, it doesn't make sense in pshat what's going on here, but let's continue. Omar le'ahu mino d'shmei sosin. There was this heretic called Sosin, and he said to Rabbi Avohu. What did he say to Rabbi Avohu? Asidisu d'temalu li mayim le'alma d'osi. That you are destined, you Klal Yisrael are destined one day that you're going to be drawing water, you're going to be filling up water for me. Dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk, Ushavtem Mayim Besasin, you're going to draw water Besasin. Omalei, so Rav Ahu said to this heretic called Sasin, Iyaviksiv Lesasin, if the pasuk would say, Ushavtem Mayim, you'll draw water Lesasin, for Sasin, Kedukomras, then you'd be right. That it would mean that we're going to pour, draw water for you. Hashtu Dichsiv Besasin, now that it says that you're going to draw water with Sasin, what does it mean? That Moshe Da'u Gavra, the skin of this person called Sasin, Mashvinon Leiguda, is going to be, we're going to consider it, it's going to become just a canteen, a type of a jug, Umolinon Beimaya, and with it, we are going to fill up water and draw water. Continues the Gemara, Olo Vakevesh Ufono Lismoilo Ichulu. The Kohen with this jug of water, and it happens to be the same applies to the Kohen who's got the jug of the wine, and this was true every day, that they would go up the ramp and wouldn't to go turn right as one typically would, rather one would turn left to reach that corner of Dorim and Meiriv where the hole for the wine and the water was positioned. Tanu Rabbanon, we learnt in a brisa, Kol ha'oilim lamizbeach, anyone who goes up the mizbeach, oilim derech yamin, you go up the right hand side of the ramp in order to then make a right. Umakifin, and then you go all the way round the Mizbeach and do whatever you have to do. V'yerudim derech smoil, and then you go down on the left-hand side of the ramp, the side closest to Meiriv. And there's three exceptions. Chutz min ha'oilo l'shleisha dvarim alolu. Besides for somebody who goes up the ramp for the following three reasons. She'oilim derech smoil. That when they go up the ramp, they make a left, not a right. V'choizrin alo'ekev, and when they're finished, you get to that corner on the left, which is the corner of Dorim Meiriv, you're finished pouring the water or doing what you have to do, we'll soon see what, then you wouldn't continue going all the way around the Mizbeach. No, you actually go back on your steps, back on yourself, and go down the ramp. V'choizrin alo'ekev, you go back on yourself and go down the ramp. V'eluhin, the three things are Nisuch HaMayim, the Kohen that was going up to pour the water, V'nisuch HaYayin, and the Kohen that was going up to pour the wine, V'oila Sa'if, Misherob Sobemizrach. The wine and the water may get affected from the smoke and of the big fire that they would have to pass were they to have to go all around the Mizbeach. And the bird korban, when it's an oila, it has to be, the malika has to be done on the upper, on a corner of the upper half of the Mizbeach. The best place to do it was on the corner of Dorim Mizrach, because the crop and some of the feathers and skin would have to be thrown onto an area that was not far from that corner. So they would preferably do the malika there of this oilas oif. But if there were too many kohenim in that corner and you had to do the oilas oif, then you would go to the next closest corner, which was the corner of Dorim Meiriv. And if you were to go hold the oilas oif before doing malika, the bird is still alive, and you'd have to go all the way around the mizbeach to get to that corner, then it could be that this bird is going to suffocate, is going to die from the smoke of the mizbeach, and therefore they couldn't go all the way around. It was a long journey, it was over 100 amis. And therefore, if a kohen had to do the malika of an oilas oif on the corner of the Meiriv Dorim, not on the Mizrach Dorim, then they would go left and not right. Continues the Gemara, Elo shehoyu mashchirin, that even though these two bowls on top, on the corner of Dorim and Meiriv, they were either of silver or of sid, of plaster, nonetheless they were blackened. Why? The wine, pouring wine there, will blacken the container. So bishlei meduyayin, I can understand that the bowl that was designated for the wine, mashchir, it will get black from the wine. It'll get darkened from the wine. Demaya amay mashkir. But the bowl that was going to, that's used and designated for water, water doesn't make the containers blackened. Says the Gemara, Kivin do Omar Mar, since we saw the end of the Mishnah, Irosh el mayim l'toich shel yayin, shel yayin l'toich shel mayim yotzar, since it says that if you were to confuse the two and you put wine in the bowl that's designated for the water, it's kosher. So shelmayim osu lishchuri. So therefore, it's inevitable that at some point a kohen would have poured the wine into the hole that was designated for the water, and that bowl was also blackened from the wine. continues the Gemara, Umunukovin kamin beis chaitmin, that these two bowls had a wide opening at the top, and at the base of these bowls it had these spouts that were nostril-like, thin nostril-like spouts. And we saw that one of them was thicker, and one of them was thinner. Says the Gemara, Leime masnisin Rabbi Yudahi v'loi Rabbonon, can we assume that this Mishnah that says that one of the spouts were wider than the other is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbonon? Why? Titnan Rabbi Yehuda Oimir. Rabbi Yehuda says, "B'loy koyem menasech kol shmoino." Rabbi Yehuda says, "How much water would they pour?" Rabbi Yehuda says, "They would pour a loig of water." And how much wine would they pour? They would pour a revir sahin, which is three lugin, which means there's three times as much wine being poured than water. So we can understand that you want them to both finish pouring at the same time, then the opening for the wine has to be wider than the opening of the water, because there's so much more wine being poured than water being poured. They were poured at the same time, and they wanted to come out to finish the pouring and coming out of these containers onto the Mizbeach and making its way down to the Shittin at the same time. So can we assume that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? De'i Rabbonon, because according to the Rabbonon say that the water was also gimelugin, the same amount as the wine. They're both gimelugin. So why would the opening of one container, of one bowl, have to be wider than the other one? Says the Gemara, no. Afilatema Rabbonon, it could even be the Rabbonon. And even though the amount of wine and the amount of water is the same, nonetheless, the opening for the wine would have to be wider than the opening for the water in order that they should finish coming out at the same time. Because chamra somich, because wine is more dense, is more thick. Maya, kolish, maya, is more fluid and thinner. And therefore, if the opening is the same, the water would flow out quicker than the wine, and they wouldn't finish flowing out at the same time. Hochanami mistabra, and it's probable that this Mishnah is actually the Rabbonon and not Rabbi Yehuda. Why? From the term that the Mishnah uses echod mu'uva ve'echod dak. One was thick and one was thin. Rabbi Yehuda didn't use those terms. Rabbi Yehuda held that the thicker opening was even wider than the thick opening that the Tanakhama said. The Tanakhama said that the wine, the bowl that was used for the wine, the spout was mu'uva, was thick. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not good enough just that it should be thicker. It should be wider, which is even wider than thick. Rabbi Yehuda, rochav v'kotzer is there. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's not about thick and thin, the openings of these nostrils, of these spouts, it's about wide and narrow. And Rashi says, wider is wider than thicker. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Imi, we learned in the Braisa, Shnei Kashvois, Hoyushom, there were two vessels on top of the Mizbeach, Echot Shel Mayim, Echot Shel Yayin, as we saw, one for wine, one for water. Shel Yayin Pi HaRochov, the one for wine, it doesn't say it was thick. No, it was wide. Was like even wider than what the connotation of thick would have been. Shalmayim piyar kotzer, and the water, the one for the water, the opening was narrow, not wide. Kedei sheyu shneim kolim vasachas, in order that the two should finish flowing at the same time. So from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda used the term rochav and kotzer, and our Mishnah uses the term mu'uva and dak, is therefore probable that it's the Chachomim, not Rabbi Yehuda. And according to the Chachomim, why do you need one to be mu'uba and one to be dak? Is because the wine is thicker than the water. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.